Chapter 29
Joe! Skippy's voice echoed in my cabin at 0337. Wake up!
What is it?
This was going to be a good day, I knew already, because despite being startled out of a sound sleep, I had avoided whacking my head on the cabinet above my bunk.
A complication!
You know I hate complications, Skippy.
And an opportunity.
Skippy, you know I was a grunt, right? When an infantry soldier hears the word opportunity, it is almost never a good thing.
This opportunity is a good thing, Joe.
Well, unless it turns out to be a disaster. It could be a disaster, I guess.
Crap.
What is it?
I was running back the sensor data from when we destroyed that Maxulk ship. I'm still extremely proud of that, by the way.
That little incident has to be given a prominent position in the Skippy Awesomeness Hall of Fame.
You're building a Hall of Fame for yourself now?
A virtual one, Joe, but I do owe it to the galaxy to memorialize my awesomeness.
Uh-huh. This Hall of Fame, does it have a gift shop?
Yes. And for you, I got a big foam finger with Skippy's number one fan on it.
You woke me up at 3:30 in the freaking morning. Right now, the only thing I'm a big fan of is falling back to sleep.
Then you will miss what I found. In the sensor data, I discovered what I think is a Maxulk's escape pod that was ejected from the ship as it was destroyed.
Escape pod?
Swinging my legs onto the floor, I rubbed my eyes to chase away sleep.
Oh, hell, you think there's someone in it?
At this distance, I cannot tell. Our micro-wormholes went out of range, then I deactivated them. With this ship's crappy sensors, we have no way to scan the interior of that escape pod from here.
I'll bet next you want us to chase that thing down so you can look at it.
Why not? If I can scan the pod and determine there is a Maxulk aboard, we don't have to take it aboard.
Yes, we do. Chotek is right. Sometimes plans acquire momentum of their own.
Damn it, this ship is not a zoo.
Could we hold a Maxulk without the thing escaping or taking over the ship?
Maxulks have advanced biological implants that allow them to interface directly with and assume control over data systems such as this ship's computer. These implants are similar to the cyborg implants used by the Theranon, but they are integrated with Maxulk's biology and are much, much more sophisticated and powerful. However, I think I can disable them, so
if you want to let an apex species onto our beat-up piece of crap ship, then you need to do a lot better than think. You can stop the thing from seizing control of our systems.
If it even gets partial control of a combot, even for a moment, people could get killed. By people, I mean humans.
Joe, I am very confident that my awesomeness can easily...
Yeah, when your awesomeness is available.
What happens the next time you go on an unscheduled vacation and we're stuck with a Maxulk taking over the ship?
Now you're being foolish. That is extremely unlikely. The wormhole is dead, and...
You think the wormhole is dead. You thought it was dead before, and you don't know what other dangers are out there or inside you.
So you want to ignore the opportunity to capture a Maxulk?
Capture it and what?
What could we learn about that species that you don't already know?
If there is a rotten kitty in that escape pod, it has been on ice for a long time. Whatever knowledge it has is outdated. Maxulk society and culture could have changed significantly since that thing got trapped here.
Their society is ancient and changes only very slowly, Joe.
I just don't see what could be the upside to us taking one of those things aboard, Skippy.
But it's not my call. I will notify Chotek about it and he can tell you no.
Hans Chotek did not say no.
Damn it. That bureaucrat was predictably rigid, except what I wanted him to be.
This was a time when I wanted him to be strictly risk-averse, but no. When I told him we may be able to capture one or more Maxulks, he almost clapped his hands with delight.
"This is a marvelous opportunity, Colonel," he declared with alarming enthusiasm.
I couldn't think of anything else to say.
"There is substantial danger, sir. I am sure that Mr. Skippy can disable whatever capabilities the Maxulks have that could harm us."
"That is correct," Skippy agreed cheerily. "We can keep it in a cargo bay."
I pressed him on his easy confidence. "You can permanently disable the Maxulk's ability to interfere with ship systems, not just block that ability while you're here?"
Chotek looked at me sharply.
"What do you mean, while Skippy is here, Colonel?"
After we got the conduit and Skippy defeated the worm and fixed himself, I assured my boss that Skippy was now 100% back with us, that he wasn't going away, and that he had learned his lesson about poking his nose into scary dark places.
"Are you concerned that our beer can," I noticed he didn't say Mr. Skippy this time, "will go missing on us again?"
"You assured me that..."
"Sir, all I meant was if we have an away mission that requires Skippy to be separated from the ship, we must be absolutely certain a Maxulx cannot pose a risk to the mission, ship, or crew."
It was rare that I interrupted Chotek. In this case, I thought he was winding up to give me a serious ass-chewing. Fortunately, the lie that instantly flashed into my mind contained enough of the truth that I didn't need to worry about a guilty expression giving me away. Also, a Maxulx won't be aboard the Dutchman forever. If, when, we get back to Earth, UNEF Command will want the Maxulx brought down to the surface for study. Assuming we will take the Dutchman back out, the Maxulx will be on our home planet without Skippy to prevent it from causing... I tried to think of an appropriate word. Mischief.
"Ah." Chotek's expression turned from angry to thoughtful.
"That is good thinking, Colonel. Mr. Skippy."
"I told Joe already that is not a problem," Skippy scoffed, and I felt the impact of the bus he had thrown me under.
"Sir, that isn't the only problem." I temporarily suppressed a flash of annoyance at Skippy. "Because of restrictions in his programming, Skippy can't share his knowledge of technology that could help humans develop defenses or build our own ships. You, still have those restrictions in your new expanded awesomeness?"
"I'm working on it, but sadly, yes. Although even if I didn't, I would hesitate to help a bunch of squabbling monkeys make more powerful sticks to whack each other with."
Ignoring his comment, I added, "A Maxulx will have no such restriction. It could share information freely if it chose to. That could cause the biggest problem. Nations on Earth would consider such knowledge worth fighting over."
"That is a very good point, Colonel."
Chotek slumped slightly in his chair.
"Although," he perked up, "we could insist on safeguards before bringing the alien down to the surface," he said with a smile.
I knew what he was thinking. He would be able to make the Maxulx someone else's problem.
"We could require UNEF Command to assure joint custody of the alien."
"Yes, sir, I'm sure UNEF Command could do something like that. I am worried a Maxulx would learn quickly and play one nation against the others. Maxulx are very smart. Right, Skippy?
They are smart and clever and devious. Joe is right to be concerned," he said, and I smiled. Then he threw me under the bus again.
"But, as you said, Mr. Chotek, this is a marvelous opportunity, and out here, risks must be taken."
"Very well." Chotek shot me a look of annoyance that I had needlessly sidetracked the conversation. "Colonel, please alter course to intercept the escape pod. We will approach close enough to scan its interior, then decide how to proceed."
"Yes, sir." I pressed a button on my Z-phone to send a pre-planned command to the duty officer on the bridge.
"Sir, to make sure we are all on the same page, could you tell me what you expect are the advantages of having a live Maxulx aboard?"
What I did not add was, "because I see only danger."
"I should think it is fairly obvious, Colonel. However, to assure there is no misunderstanding, I will not allow any medical experiments, interrogation, or harsh treatment of any," he searched for the proper word, "refugees." I nodded silently, holding my tongue, because I could not think of any useful information we would get from taking medical samples or asking questions. Skippy could get whatever physical data we needed remotely, and asking our most dangerous enemy questions would be a total waste of time. The Maxulx would gain more intelligence by which questions we chose to ask than we could gain from its answers. Regarding harsh treatment, I did not plan to scratch a Maxulx behind its ears until it purred, but I also would not allow torture. Simply being held prisoner by a species on the very bottom of the technology ladder would be torture to a Maxulx. "My intention is to open a dialogue with the Maxulx in controlled conditions aboard this ship. Colonel, we may in the near future find the need to negotiate with the Maxulx. Gaining an understanding of their basic psychology would be invaluable. A true understanding based on face-to-face interactions, not merely studying academic reports provided by Skippy. Mr. Skippy is an unfathomably intelligent being. He paused for Skippy to interject, which didn't happen. But as Skippy is not based on biology, he may not appreciate the subtleties of biological communication.
That is true, Skippy admitted unexpectedly. I don't understand what Joe talks about half the time, although the problem there may be unique to Joe. Thump, thump. Those were the rear wheels of the bus running over me.
Chotek went on for a while about how he planned to open a dialogue with the Maxalks and study the species far above us on the development ladder, while I worried about how the Maxalks was likely to sucker Hans Chotek into giving away far more information than he got in return. While our fearless leader babbled on, I smiled, nodded at appropriate times, and fantasized about throwing a certain traitorous beer can out an airlock on a long, lonely one-way trip into a black hole. When Chotek decided he had heard the wonderful sound of his own voice long enough for the moment, he let me go to work with Major Sims on setting up some sort of holding facility for a potentially very special guest. Before speaking with Sims, I went straight to Skippy's own escape pod man cave, ducked through the too small door, and plopped down on the couch next to him.
"Hey, Joe, to what do I owe the displeasure of this visit?"
"You threw me under a bus, Skippy."
"What? That is a hurtful accusation, Joe. Why do you—"
"Oh, hell, I kinda did throw you under a bus, but it was for your own good."
"Really?"
"Okay, it was partly for your own good. Joe, while I understand your objections to bringing a Maxalks aboard, you are missing the incredible entertainment value for me."
"For you?"
"Oh, for you, too, but mostly for me. I will have a whole other species to mess with, and the Maxalks isn't ignorant like you monkeys. He will be better able to appreciate how awesome I am."
"Seriously? You want to bring aboard a dangerous unknown threat because you are bored?
Oh, like that's not a good reason."
"Don't get so upset, Joe. We will put the alien in a cargo bay with an airlock. If it poses a threat to the ship or, you know, pisses me off, I'll blow the airlock and suck it out into space."
"You'd better be right about that, Skippy." To pick up the Maxalk's escape pod, I insisted we send an unmanned Krystang Dragon A dropship remotely controlled by Skippy. The little dropship was stuffed with explosives, also at my insistence and against Skippy's objections that all the security measures were not necessary. The Dragon flew around the escape pod, scanning it for hours. Skippy determined almost immediately there were two Maxalk's alive in the pod, both males. They were in hibernation and had remained in deep sleep since their ship was torn apart by the Guardians. Because the data systems of the pod were corrupted, and because the pod had not been provided with sensitive data in case the pod was captured by an enemy such as us, Skippy wasn't able to find out how many crew had been aboard the ship. We didn't know whether any of the crew had been awake, or the ship had been run entirely by an AI, but Skippy thought it unlikely an AI would have bothered to intercept our communications and broadcast a message. We had a moment of alarm when Skippy announced the scanning sensor beams from our Dragon had been detected by the pod's automated systems, and the pod had activated its systems to revive its two passengers. Skippy told me he could interrupt the revival process, but doing so would likely be fatal to the two Maxalks. One of them was weak already, based on data Skippy got by hacking into the pod's data system. He did not expect one of the aliens to survive. They had been asleep far too long. After examining the condition of the pod, Skippy was surprised either of them could survive the revival process.
"Would it help if we brought them aboard?" Chotek asked anxiously. "Could you help them with our medical equipment?"
He very much did not want even one of the aliens to die under our control. Before I could make a very reasonable objection to the idea of bringing dangerous aliens into the low-security environment of the Dutchman's medical bay, Skippy answered for me. "Unfortunately, no. Our own supply of items, such as medical nanobots, is critically low, and I would have to modify our equipment for Maxalk's biology. In the process, much of our supplies would be expended, partly wasted. Also, I am unfamiliar with the hypersleep technology used back then by the Maxalk's, and the pod does not contain useful instructions. It would have been better if the pod had not begun the revival sequence, but at this point our best option is to allow the Maxalk's equipment to complete the revival process."
"Very well."
Chotek's tone meant the situation was anything but well at all. Is there any reason we could not bring the pod aboard?
No, Skippy again spoke before I could give my opinion. Having the pod aboard would allow me to supply reliable power to the revival mechanism. Many of the power cells failed long ago.
The pod was brought into a hangar bay, which was kept unpressurized with the big doors open, and I had one of Skippy's bots attach explosives to the pod. One press of the big red button on my Z-phone and that pod would become a ball of plasma the size of a beach ball. Chotek tried to argue with me about that, until Skippy stated that as the ship's captain, I was responsible for security aboard the ship. It would have been nice if the traitorous little shithead had said that before we brought the pod aboard.
2 days later, after two nearly sleepless nights for me, Skippy declared the surviving alien was fully awake and demanding to be released from his pod. The other Maxulks had died during the revival process. It never really had a chance, according to Dr. Skippy.
Okay, how do we do this? I asked while I was still alone with Skippy.
Since you are going to throw a fit if we take even a teeny tiny risk, I suggest my bots remove the life support casket from the pod and bring the casket to the holding cell.
Your bots can carry the casket outside the ship, bring it into the holding cell through the airlock?
I did not want the casket traveling through the interior of the ship.
Yes, he sighed. I could picture his avatar rolling its eyes. Totally unnecessary, I assure you, but I will do it to make little Joey happy.
Great.
It was another 5 hours before we were ready to open the sleep casket in the holding cell, which Chotek referred to as guest accommodations. These accommodations had an airlock that could be blown if the guest got unruly, so Chotek could call the holding cell a resort for all I cared.
Ooh, Skippy chuckled. Our friend in there is getting quite insistent that we release him right now.
The good news is he refers to us as unknown species, so he does not know who humans are.
Man, is he in for a crushing disappointment.
When you're ready, Skippy, I ordered.
Colonel Bishop, Chotek held up a hand. Is this really necessary? Treating our guest in a hostile manner could set a tone for our discussion.
Sir, respectfully, yes, it is absolutely necessary. We must...
I don't think you need to worry about setting a hostile tone here, Chocula, Skippy fairly giggled.
Your buddy is hopping mad and making hostile threats of his own.
Like what?
I kept a thumb hovered over the big red button on my Z-phone ready to turn our guest into vapor.
Like, let's see, I'll just hit the highlights. He threatened to destroy your home planet, wherever that is, because he has never heard of Earth. Technically, that was more of a promise than a threat. Of course, the entire crew of this ship will be subjected to long and painful torture before being inevitably killed for daring to keep a Maxulks captive.
What did you say to it? Chotek demanded suspiciously.
Me? Skippy said innocently.
I didn't say anything.
No, really, in this case I said very little. In fact, I told him we are in process of releasing him.
Did that help the situation? Chotek was hopeful.
It sort of improved its mood a little. He offered to kill the ship's crew quickly, except, of course, for the command crew responsible for treating an advanced species with such disrespect. And rather than destroying your home planet and wiping out your entire species, some of you will be enslaved to serve the glorious Maxulks. After that, your planet will be destroyed and the rest of your species obliterated from history.
That is a Maxulks in a good mood? Even I was taken aback.
Yep. Come on, Joe, think about it. This particular Maxulks volunteered for an almost certain suicide mission in the hope of acquiring elder technology the Maxulks could use to destroy the Rindaloo and enslave the entire galaxy. The creature in that casket is the most fanatical of fanatics in a rabidly fanatical, hateful species.
I made a rabies joke, because the Maxulks sort of look like cats. Get it?
Yeah, we get it.
Everything I heard made me more unhappy about the idea of a Maxulks being aboard. Even Hans Chotek's unflagging optimism about the value of diplomatic discussions was wavering.
Colonel, perhaps we should reconsider.
Too late now, Skippy laughed. That casket isn't designed for long-term occupancy. We need to either release that kitty soon or blow it into space.
Sir, I spoke before I could lose my nerve. I can't believe I'm saying this, but we've come this far already. We may as well open the casket and talk to it. What I did not say was my real motivation.
If Chotek had a Maxolx to talk with, my boss might leave me alone. Plus, if Chotek realized he was wrong, again, and I was right, again, that could only be good for me.
Skippy, does this thing have a name?
It, or he, calls himself Snooksalakut, or close enough to the correct pronunciation.
Snooksal...
Oh, forget it. My tongue couldn't manage the name. I'll call him Mr. Snuggles.
Mr. Snug...
Sergeant Adams thought that was uproariously funny, though her discipline struggled mightily to contain her laughter. She lost. Because Skippy can never do anything simple, he played Pop Goes the Weasel over the speakers while his bots broke the seal on the casket and began slowly cranking it open. Hans Chotek had a disapproving look on his face, but I could tell from his shoulders shaking that even he was laughing. When the song got to the appropriate part, the lid of the casket was flung open, and before the Maxolx could free himself, a pair of Skippy's bots reached in and grasped it firmly. Not roughly, just firmly. I didn't want to actually hurt the thing, and after being asleep for thousands of years, it needed help standing in artificial gravity, even though we had gravity in the holding cell set at 50% Earth normal. While Mr. Snuggles needed help standing, he did not need assistance issuing what sounded like vile and dire threats against the unknown species he could see through the glass in the hangar bay control center. Snuggles was enraged, so much that spittle flew from his mouth as he shouted at us.
"Can you translate, Skippy?" I asked.
"Yes, but I had better not, Joe. It is pretty foul. Not quite at the level of Kristang insults, but pretty impressive."
"Hey, Snuggles, you behave,"
Skippy warned as his bots struggled against the powerful Maxolx.
"All right, Joe, now he is pissing me off. Time for Snuggles in there to learn a lesson."
"No," I feared Skippy would use a bot manipulator arm to choke Snuggles, but our beer can had another sort of lesson in mind. What I should have remembered was what Skippy personally wanted from having a Maxolx aboard. Entertainment. The two Hulkin maintenance bots, designed to handle heavy reactor components, grasped Mr. Snuggles' arms and legs, and the advanced being began moving to a thumping beat blasting out of speakers in the holding cell.
"Everybody dance now. Everybody dance now. Give me the music."
Even Chotek thought it was amusing to see Snuggles being made to dance. The best part was the expression on the rotten kitty's face.
Mr. Skippy, Chotek said when he was able to talk. "This is not helping."
"You're right," Skippy admitted. "Snuggles has no natural rhythm. Maybe something else."
The music changed and Snuggles began moving against his will. "Won't you take me to Funky Town? Won't you take me to Funky Town?"
"Skippy," I observed, "I don't think he wants to go to Funky Town."
Skippy blew a raspberry.
"Come on, Joe. Everyone wants to go to Funky Town."
Adams leaned toward me. "With all the genetic enhancements the Maxolx gave themselves over the years, they can't dance?"
"I don't know, Gunny. Snuggles looks like he's got moves to me."
"You would think that, sir."
"Did you just disparage your commanding officer's dancing ability?"
"Not that you know of, sir." She winked. Skippy cut off the music and held the fuming Maxolx still and upright. Mr. Snuggles may not have recognized the music, but he clearly understood he had been humiliated, and he was not happy about it.
Adams snapped her fingers. "I just thought of what he reminds me of. He looks like the bad guy in that first Kung Fu Panda movie."
"Really?" I looked at Snuggles again, considering what Adams had said.
"Okay, I see it," I agreed.
"Yeah." Snuggles didn't have spots on its fur like a leopard did. At least the exposed skin of Snuggles wasn't spotted, although its face and the back of its hands were covered in a fine grayish fur. His eyes were yellow, surrounded by white fur outlined in black. Fangs extended through his lips from his upper jaw, and, like a cat, he had triangular ears set high on each side of his skull. He did look sort of like a cat. The images Skippy had shown me of Maxolx had not appeared quite so cat-like. It was different seeing one for real. I left Chotek to deal with Mr. Snuggles after Skippy demonstrated his pair of bots could easily handle the Maxolx. Skippy did not like the idea of me letting Chotek speak one-on-one with Mr. Snuggles.
"Joe, you can't leave Count Chocula alone in there. That Maxolx will play Chocula like a fiddle at a hootenanny."
"A hoot what?"
"A hoedown, Joe. Didn't you learn anything about culture from Cornpone?
A folk dance where fiddles are played.
Yeah, I figured that. Crap, I don't want to be stuck in there for hours and hours while Chotek tries to make friends with the devil.
You don't have to, Joe. Damn, you're supposed to be the captain of this ship. Split the duty with your crew.
I don't want to make them sit for hours. But I agree our fearless leader needs adult supervision.
So I took the first duty shift, mostly sitting next to Chotek while he attempted fruitlessly to engage Mr. Snuggles in a discussion. With me, I brought our resident CIA officer, Dr. Sarah Rose. She was excited about interrogating an alien. Unfortunately for her, the interrogation mostly went one way, with Snuggles demanding answers and Dr. Rose trying to stop Chotek from revealing secrets we didn't want any Max Salts to know. Chotek quickly became irritated with Dr. Rose, who we had not invited into the discussion.
To open a dialogue, we must provide information. We cannot simply...
Yes, sir, Rose said gently. You want the alien to provide information in return. If he... She jabbed a finger at the tough composite glass separating us from Snuggles. Realizes just how little technology we have mastery of, that we are basically passengers on this ship, he will have little incentive to cooperate with us.
True. True, Chotek agreed unhappily. Negotiation is best accomplished between equals. Very well. Let's set some ground rules for what information it is safe to provide at this point. Colonel Bishop, I am assuming our guest will spend the remainder of his life in custody, either here or on Earth. Dr. Rose was with Chotek every long, fruitless hour, while I split duty shifts with Chang, Smythe, and others. Dr. Friedlander and his team took turns observing, not that they learned anything useful. All I cared about was we had a military presence with Chotek every time he spoke with Snuggles. Over the next 2 days, while the Dutchman sped toward the edge of the dampen field, Chotek tried to get Snuggles to open a dialogue with Skippy translating. If he made any progress, I didn't see it, and Chotek didn't say. All I knew was two things. First, Chotek was busy and leaving me alone to run the ship, and second, every time I saw Chotek, usually in the galley, the man looked dead tired. The strain of trying to prove he could successfully conduct a discussion with the Maxalks had to be getting to him. I stopped by the holding cell once to amuse myself by staring through the tough composite glass at the Maxalks, like viewing animals in a zoo. Then I got bored with Mr. Snuggles shouting and threatening me and demanding to be released, and I didn't want to get used to seeing a Maxalks cooped up and powerless in a holding cell. It would be dangerous for me to start empathizing with Snuggles and think of him and his species as anything other than a dire and implacable threat to the survival of humanity. "Hey, Skippy," I asked while in my office enjoying a cup of coffee after breakfast. "How is Chocula?" I glanced through my door just in case my boss happened to be out in the passageway. "How is Chotek doing with our guest?"
"Not well, Joe. Yesterday morning, I explained to our guest what the name Mr. Snuggles means, and damn, if he wasn't mad at you before, he really wants to kill you now. He hates that name."
"Oh, goody," I laughed. "Screw him."
"Snuggles is not being cooperative. He wants better food. Those sludges I modified for Maxalk's nutritional needs are not appealing to him."
"Did you explain that we don't have any other food he can eat?"
Maxalk's biology was incompatible with humans, so a cheeseburger would make Snuggles sick and not provide any energy.
"Well, I told him to shut the hell up and drink the sludges or starve."
"Ah, close enough. It's not like he can give us a bad review on Yelp." "In other news, Chotek told him all about Earth. He is going to find out anyway once we get there. Our fearless leader tried telling Snuggles that Earth is peaceful and does not want any trouble. That only made our guest see humans as a weak, easy target. The strategy kind of backfired on Chotek, and he's depressed about it. That's what he wrote in his diary."
"He keeps a diary?"
"Well, it's more of a journal, I guess. Anyway, Mr. Snuggles is stringing Chocula along while he tries to escape from his cell and take over the ship."
"He what?"
"Maxalks have extended their biology with nanoscale technology. For example, they have nanobots in their blood and throughout their tissues to regulate metabolic functions, enhance strength, utilize energy more efficiently, prevent infection, and heal wounds. Snuggles is modifying a portion of his internal nanobots to take control of the maintenance bot I kept in his cell.
He plans to use that bot to cut a hole in a wall so the nanomachines can infiltrate the ship's control systems and allow him to seize the ship through his brain implants.
Holy shit! I pulled out my Z-phone and opened the big red button app. Should I blow the airlock?
Huh?
No, Skippy laughed.
Relax, dude, I got it covered. Snuggles is not taking over anything. In the meantime, trying to seize control of the ship and kill the crew in the most painful way imaginable is keeping Snuggles busy and happy, so there's no harm letting him continue.
If you're sure about that,
totally sure.
Snuggles had bad timing, or good timing, which meant he knew the ship's crew schedule, a thought I found disturbing. He launched his attempt to seize control over the bot in his cell just as I was walking into the galley. Skippy beeped my Z-phone, so I stepped back into the passageway.
What's up?
Snuggles just tried to use his nanomachines to take control of my maintenance bot. I let him think he was making progress, then locked him out.
Hee hee! Bad kitty.
There's no danger to us? I had moved the big red button app to my Z-phone's home screen just in case I needed to use it quickly.
The only danger is to Mr. Snuggles' morale. He is very frustrated right now. He can't understand why his nanobots were not successful.
He just began modifying more of his nanobots so they can be used to take over the ship.
He needs to be careful about that. Snuggles is not a healthy kitty. He spent too long in hibernation. If he uses up too much of his nanosupply, he won't be able to continue the process of replacing damaged tissues.
Shit. Okay, let him continue trying to kill us for a couple hours, then tell him we knew what he was doing and we stopped him. So he shouldn't waste his time or nano trying to escape, because he can't.
Fine, Skippy grumbled. You spoil all my fun, Joe.
Because the universe hates me, and because Mr. Snuggles had terrible timing and hates me too, it happened at 0214 hours. Skippy woke me out of a pleasant dream.
Joe! Joe!
What? I fumbled for my Z-phone under my pillow.
Mr. Snuggles, he's dead, Joe.
What?
How?
He used his nano to kill himself, fried his brainstem. It just happened. A couple hours ago, I informed him that we knew he was trying to take over the ship and that he was never going to be successful. That got him depressed, Joe. He actually sat in a corner and was crying. That was a disturbing image.
Ah, crap.
I can understand his pain. He was asleep for a very long time. He wakes up not knowing where he is and what happened to him, and he gets stuck on a ship full of ignorant monkeys. That would depress anyone. Anyway, I saw he was modifying more nano, but I didn't know what he planned to do with it. Before I could stop him, he built up an electrical charge at the base of his neck and killed himself.
Damn. Chotek is not going to be happy about this.
And, I thought to myself, he is going to find some way to blame Snuggles' suicide on me.
Maybe less than you think, Joe. Chotek's diary entry last night concluded that our guest was never going to be cooperative and that it may have been a mistake to bring a Maxulx aboard this ship. Also, our fearless leader was very concerned about the prospect of bringing a Maxulx down to Earth. He realized he agreed with your fears about nations fighting over access to our guest.
Well, that's not a problem now, huh?
Chotek acted like he was upset about the death of Snuggles, but he didn't blame me. He declared we needed to conduct a funeral service for the two deceased Maxulx, rather than simply having Skippy's bots toss the bodies out an airlock like I wanted. Fortunately, Chotek himself spoke at the funeral, because my mournful words would have been something like, "Lord, please don't let me be an asshole like these two losers, can I get an amen?" Hey, that is nicer than anything Mr. Snuggles would have said after he killed me, so screw him.